been struggling a little bit with my voice, and I want to thank you for your grace in listening to a message that if you were around on the long weekend for Zoom, you heard that weekend as well. It actually reminds me of that story of a pastor who gets called to a church, and the first Sunday he preaches his message, and everybody goes, well, that was great, pastor, you know. Next week he gets up and preaches the same message again, and they're thinking, okay, he had to move into his house, he didn't have time to prepare, not a big deal. Week three, he gets up and preaches the same message, and now they're thinking, okay, what's going on here? And they talk to him about it, and he said, well, when you start doing the things I said the first time, we'll move on to a second message, but there's no sense. So that was not my plan to use a message twice. I actually had something prepared last week and was very disappointed that I wasn't able to be with you. But I do wonder if God in his sovereignty might want us to hear that message twice. And I think as we go through this morning, you'll make that connection. I do think it's really important for us this morning to talk about, and I do mean talk about together, not just me, our season of prayer and fasting. And to share some of the things that that God might have said to us or done in our presence, what these weeks may have meant to you. And so let me just tee this up a little bit by asking you to think about what was it the Lord said to you over these last 6 weeks. If there was one thing that you would say, I really felt like the Lord was encouraging me on this, or speaking to me on a subject, if there was one highlight that you would want to write down in a journal, what would that one thing be? And as you're thinking about that, I want to share a story with you. 25 years ago, Melissa and I began a church planting project in Calgary. We had a very small group of about 30, 35 people, most of whom were seniors on pension incomes. And if I recall right, we had two young families, and I think it was just one child in the nursery at that time. Our monthly giving for that church was about $1,600 per month, which totaled somewhere in the area of maybe it was a little bit more than that, $20,000 a year. The thing that made this church plant unique was that we had the option to purchase a signature piece of property in a brand new development, a new community that was being established in Southeast Calgary, very much like Augustine, but think 10 or 15 times the size of Augustine. The deal for the purchase of that property was that we had to have footings in the ground within 6 months of our arrival, Melissa and I, our arrival in Calgary. And so that was a pretty daunting challenge. Our denomination backed a line of credit, and over the course of the next year, we incurred a mortgage debt of $2.3 million. That means we had to grow the church very quickly in order to support the mortgage. By God's wonderful grace, the church doubled in size in this first 6 months while we were working on the architectural drawings. The church doubled again in the second 6 months during the construction phase. And shortly after we took possession of that new facility, we had virtually doubled again. So we now had a congregation somewhere around 220, 230, somewhere in that range of regular attendance. But of course, our expenses were now $20,000 a month. And so our giving started at $20,000 per year, and 1 year later, our expenses were $20,000 per month. The business plan for this church plant anticipated that it would take us at least 5 years to grow the church to the place where we could fully service that mortgage debt. And that during the course of those 5 years, the mortgage would actually grow by whatever portion we failed to pay at the end of each year. And so we had to baptize new believers and teach them very quickly the grace of generosity and tithing and giving. After about 6 years, the debt had grown by about $200,000, somewhere now in the range of $2.5 million. And our leadership team came to the conclusion that if we did not rein in this debt very soon, that the growth of the debt would outpace the growth of the church and that we would never catch up. And so we called the church to a week of prayer and fasting. We canceled everything for a week, and we invited the church to come into our worship center every night for prayer. And it was wonderful. People were confessing sin, and I remember in particular some of the young fathers in the room committing before the Lord to be better dads, better husbands, to be spiritual leaders in their homes. It was wonderful. At the end of that week, that next Sunday morning, I was greeting people in the foyer of the service before we began. And people were asking me, what did God say about our mortgage? And I realized that we forgot to pray about the mortgage. All we did for a week was confess sin and repent and commit before the Lord to be faithful followers of Jesus in our homes and in our families. So I asked the elders to come into my office before the service. And I said, what do we do? Do we need to extend into a second week of prayer and fasting? But as we sat there, we agreed that no. What we sensed from the Lord was very simple. The Lord has heard our prayer. And that we should just carry on with ministry. That was in October. And by October of that year, we were already, I don't know the details anymore, somewhere in the range of $20,000 to $30,000 behind on our mortgage payments for the year. But by the end of that year, we not only made up the shortfall, but in January, we made an additional lump sum payment onto the principal of the mortgage. And from that time on, our giving increased miraculously. We couldn't understand how the giving of this church could increase at that rate. We thought it was an anomaly that maybe we had some kind of benefactor out there who was watching out for us. But it continued for months. And then the summer came, and we thought surely in the summer, just like every other church, the giving would go down as attendance decreases. Our giving went up during the summer, and it never declined. God did a miraculous work. And what I learned that year was that prayer and fasting is about confession and repentance and about obedience to Jesus. And that whatever that moment it is, whatever that crisis is that brings a church to the point of entering a season of fasting, whatever that is, it's secondary to the work of confession. Because God won't work in a church if we won't let Him work in the lives of the people who make up that church. As we began our season of prayer and fasting, we weren't concerned with a mortgage. our concern was very simply out of Acts chapter 1, that the Holy Spirit would empower our church to be witnesses in the city, that the gospel of Jesus Christ would be proclaimed in the city, and that people would come to know Jesus. Now, at the same time, we are all aware that we face some challenges as a church, some things that we need to face in the coming years. One of those was staffing for our youth ministry. We had just begun a search for staff. Another one, as you know, is the lease on this facility. We need direction from the Lord long-term for our facilities. But these weren't the primary focus of our season. Our primary focus was the empowering of the Holy Spirit that we would be witnesses in the city. But I also knew that our first priority needed to be confession and repentance and obedience to Jesus. And with these three in place, we could entrust everything else to the Lord. So here we are today, the Sunday after our season of prayer and fasting. And I do think it's important for us to take some time and ask, what did the Lord say to us? And I would suggest that the first answer to that question needs to be, what did the Lord say to you? As you prayed through Psalm 139 week after week, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. What did the Lord say to you about your heart, your anxious thoughts, or your ways? Did God call you to be a better husband or father or a spiritual leader in your home? Did the Holy Spirit convict you of a pattern of sin? Did God challenge you to new levels of generosity with your wealth? Did he ask you to submit a relationship to you, someone that's really important to you? Did he speak to you about a calling on your life, a calling to ministry, to serve God in full-time ministry, in missions, in pastoral ministry? Did he speak to you about your identity, about your gifting? Did he affirm something in you that perhaps you have been resisting? Did he heal you? Fasting is not about denying ourselves food. Food is a symbol of the physical cravings of our bodies. It's a symbol of our sinful habits that want to rule us. It's a symbol of all the cravings of our flesh. And fasting is disciplining our bodies so that we surrender our lives to Christ in obedience. Again, there is no filling and empowering of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses without first surrendering our lives to him in obedience. So the things that the Holy Spirit spoke to you as an individual over these past 6 weeks, this is where the empowering church begins. And so this is where I want to begin this morning. That we would take a few minutes and talk about what the Lord said to you in the last 6 weeks. How did he encourage you? What was your experience as you entered this season? What was it like? And how might the Lord lay a foundation of obedience and encouragement for the things that he wants to do among us? I know we're not great at sharing and it's a little uncomfortable. Too bad. I really feel like this is a family conversation that we need to have. And so I've actually asked Ethan to set up a couple of extra mics for us this morning. And turn them both on. And let me just ask you, is there something the Lord would have you share with the church to encourage the church? What did the Lord say? Was he working in your life over these past few weeks? Here we go.
I really have. Okay. And we're good? Hello? Oh, yeah. I don't know if I have enough to share, but I can get things started. We actually only fasted together one time. It took us a little while. I kept thinking, oh, we need to all five be there. I want to do it as a family. I just couldn't get things going. So finally, the four of us fasted from supper together, and it was really good. I was surprised at how we just sat quietly and prayed together, and usually we do our own things, pray on our own, except for at supper time. And so it felt like just a neat addition to supper. And I wasn't even hungry. I thought, okay, we're going to be hungry the whole time. But I felt like God was saying, no, I'm enough. I'm enough for you. And it was neat that actually, Norm said, I think it was the second or the third last week, he said, it's not too late to join us. I thought, okay, he's talking to us here.
It's Renee. Others. You know, that simple word that I am enough, that's the kind of spiritual language that God speaks to us. Great words. Others.
I wish I had something profound to say about what I've learned through the fasting time. But it's been very enlightening to me because I've never, ever spent 5 and 6 weeks waiting on God for him to reveal himself to us. And then I realized that as you progress in this, you realize what is fasting. And to me, I've realized that fasting is actually sacrifice. I sacrifice food. And when I'm doing that, I am very quickly aware that something's wrong here. But when you take that something is wrong and say, Father, I know you're here. I need to spend that time with you. And I've never really thought about to be together with my Heavenly Father involves sacrifice at times till now. And I realize that this fasting isn't once for something really, really dramatic and important. It's part of life, and I really want to embrace a habit of fasting in some way. It doesn't have to be profound, just something that I give up that I'm longing for, but spending the time in the longing with him. It's God can fill immense holes in our inner being when you're unloved, when you're in pain, when you can sacrifice all those things, because when you hang out with him, he fills that gap.
Rosalie.
Okay, I have to preface this with, I always say I'm not going to share, and I have nothing to say. And then my heart starts beating and my hands start sweating. Anyway, so when we started this season of prayer and fasting, Travis and I sat down one morning and we're doing it together. And the one verse that I kept going back to is, you know my anxious thoughts. And we have a lot of anxious thoughts. We're anxious about what we don't know, right? If we don't know it, it causes anxiety because we don't know how to fix it and usually want to fix it on our own strength. And so I was doing a Bible study, and during the teaching time, the teacher said, we were talking about Philippians 4:8, and she said, in order to remember all those things that were whatever is, she said, thrapple it. So thrapple, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is admirable, whatever is pure, whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is lovely, whatever is excellent, think about such things. So So I'm sitting doing dishes one morning, and I'm thinking about a conversation that I had with somebody, and I'm thinking what they said. What did they actually mean about that? Maybe I should have said something different, and it's causing me anxiety. And I'm like, thrapple it. And I did. And I was like, okay, this is not something I actually need to dwell on. This is something I need to put behind me and think about something that is true and right and honorable and noble and all those things. And then fast forward to the week later, we had a really busy week. And we had a wedding to go to. Our kids were at theater week in Chilliwack. And I was like, who's going to take care of my kids? I'm not there to make sure they get lunch and all these things. And so it was causing me a lot of anxiety. And I had a friend lean over and go, what are you doing tomorrow? And I was like, well, I'm going to a wedding, and I don't know what I'm doing with my children. And she's like, I can take care of them. And I was like, oh, praise Jesus. And she did. She took them out for lunch, and she took them to the mall, and they were taken care of, and I got to enjoy the wedding, and God got us through that incredibly crazy week. But, yeah, so that's my takeaway, is just cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you. If I care about it, he cares about it, and he's going to take care of me.
Thank you. Really practical stuff. One more. Melissa.
That whole test my anxious thoughts, like, I didn't get much past that one question a lot of days. And but there was one night when I woke up and I could tell I wasn't going to fall back asleep. And in the day, I had read whatever week it was on one of the questions at the end, you know, the blurbs that Norm did on ACE. I had gone through it, and the question at the end was, are you willing to participate in miracles and healing? And when I read that, I thought, oh, that's kind of a weird question. And I didn't think much of it, but when I woke up at night, that question was immediately on my mind, and I got up, and I just started journaling, which is how I pray, and I just asked God, I said, why would anyone not want to participate in miracles and healing? And then it's like, well, hang on a second, what about you? And I thought, why wouldn't I? So, and it's like, oh, well, you don't really like messy. And he just gave me all these really real answers, right? And at the end of it, I thought, you're right. I so need you, Holy Spirit, to just get me to that willing place. So it was a real, it doesn't sound like much, but when God speaks it to you, it becomes huge. And for me, a lot of the teaching with in the prayer and fasting was, if there was a key word, I would say it was willing. Are you willing? And so nothing major like sprung out of that in terms of events or whatever, but God was giving me increased boldness about one of my spiritual gifts is encouragement, and he just gave me some opportunities to practice that in much more bolder ways. And so I'm still looking for what that might be more, like what does he want me to participate in with miracles and healings, but that wasn't really the point. The point was getting to a place of willingness. And so I think that has a huge value for me beyond our 6 weeks here. Anyways.
Gonna wrap it up. All right. Thank you. Melissa just, she said a summary word for her was willing. May I encourage you that whatever the Lord said to you, find a word, find a phrase, and write it down. Don't let it be a vague concept in your mind. But actually write it down and keep this as a testimony. In the Old Testament, so often they set up markers, stone markers, so that they wouldn't forget that moment when God gave them a particular promise. Write down a word, a phrase, and keep that as important. And having done now this work that I believe is of first importance, then we come to the work that we started in the first place. What was it that brought us to the season of prayer and fasting? Again, in Calgary, it was the mounting mortgage debt. And strangely enough, through that week that we had in Calgary, God said nothing to us specifically about the mortgage. And there was nothing I could share with the church that day. Just a gentle voice that said, I've heard your prayer. I've heard your prayer. Carry on in ministry. For what about us now in our season of prayer and fasting? Well, there are a couple of things that I believe the Lord has shared with us as a church. First, let me speak a little bit about our need for a youth pastor. Just as we began this season of fasting, I think it was that same week before we initiated our search for a youth pastor. We felt like we need to invest in this, that it was important. Well, the timing of that was just coincidental with our first quarterly financial statements of the year, which indicated that we were further behind in our giving than what would be normal for us at this time of year. And I have to say that here we are going into prayer and fasting. God, here's what we want to do. And then we get this discouraging news, and it, for a few days, took the wind out of my sails. But we decided as leadership, let's not get distracted. We could put the search on pause for a few weeks, but what we really want to do is not worry about finances. We want to wait on the Lord. Let's hear what the Lord has to say with us. At the same time, being good stewards, we also ask the management team to take a closer look at our finances to understand what was actually happening. About a month later, the elders and the management team were meeting on the same evening, separate rooms, but the same night. And that night, the management team confirmed for us that the shortfall was real. But then something, for me at least, unexpected happened. Rather than allowing our finances to define the scope of our search or our budget for this position, God led us to actually expand the scope of what this staff position would be. And that we should expand our budget, even using reserves if it was necessary. That we should be proactive for the ministry of the church. And we had this unified sense, the management, the finance, and the elders, complete unity, that we had this sense that God was saying to be proactive and staff for the future. And I'm going to come back to that in a few moments. But let me just submit to you that I think God has led us in this, and that this now needs to be not an item of fasting, but an item of intercession. That we would regularly come before the Lord to say, okay, you've led us to this. Now we are seeking, we're asking for you to provide what you've led us to pray for. Second, what about being empowered to be witnesses? That God would use us in powerful ways to share the gospel in our city. Well, let me begin with my own confession. The question that is so often asked, does God even do that anymore? I mean, we're talking about the book of Acts here. How realistic is it that we would pray like that? And even if God does do that, will he do that here in Abbotsford, in Mountain Park? And again, I come back to that teaching a few weeks ago, and then again last week, on answered prayer. The story of Peter being right in the middle of the narrative, not knowing that God was answering prayer, even if he was right in the middle of it. I think of Rhoda and the simple childlike faith, just simply embracing what God was doing. And then the contradictory faith of the church, who were so engaged in prayer, devoted to prayer, and at the same time could not bring themselves to believe that God would actually answer that prayer when he did. And in that teaching, I confess to you my own faith. Did I have faith for the things that we were praying for? And I talked about this precipice and my own tension of living there, and yet to me the scriptures were clear that this is what they taught. That was a long weekend, which means I recorded that message on a Friday. So Friday morning, the message was done, recorded, ready for Sunday. That same Friday at noon, I had a lunch appointment. I was invited to have lunch with Hakan Tastan, who is Arda's father, missionary in Turkey. This had been arranged a number of weeks in advance. I had never met Hakan. Our church doesn't support them, the family, financially. So I assumed this was an invitation to a number of pastors to meet him, hear some stories, and perhaps raise additional support for this ministry. But that's not what it was. I was surprised to learn that I was the only one invited to this meeting. And although there was a reason for it, because Hakan wanted to thank me on behalf of the church for taking care of Arda, something that Nicole, your family did, but he thanked me. Nicole's family had him in their home, for the better part of a year. And I thought, okay, that's the surface reason. And I understood that. Once we got there, I understood what was going on. But as we were talking, it became clear that that's not what this lunch was about. That God had invited me to hear stories of how the Holy Spirit was doing miraculous work in the church in Turkey, just like in the book of Acts. That 130 people had come to know Christ in the past 2 years. That God was doing miracles. People were coming to know Christ through dreams. And that they were simply receiving the harvest that God had given them. And that the empowering of the Holy Spirit that we were seeking, that it was not only possible, but the testimony of Hakan was that this is normal. And so Hakan and I spent, with the help of an interpreter, we spent some time talking about why is this so difficult in North America. And I was so encouraged by him. And I left that lunch feeling like I had been invited into some kind of inner circle of God's faithful servants, and that I should not give up in pursuing the work of the Holy Spirit in our church and in our city, that his ministry among us was so important. I prepared the message that Friday morning. Then God gave me that lunch Friday afternoon. Sunday came and went. And then Monday morning, as I was praying specifically out of this encouragement from Hakan, I was praying specifically that God would empower his church And I had this very clear sense as I was journaling that God said, I've heard your prayer. Just carry on with ministry. There was nothing specific in what he said that I could share with you of how this would look, other than the fact that God has heard our prayer. I was so encouraged. I went into the office that week and started grappling with the implications of that word from the Lord. That simple statement. If God has heard our prayer, should we not get ready? When the Holy Spirit empowers our witness and testimony in this city, and when we see people coming to the Lord, what will we do with them? How will we disciple these new believers? Are we ready? And I started to think about the capacity of our church to disciple new believers. And for some reason, I started thinking, if God gave us 130 new believers in the next 2 years, who would disciple them? What will we teach them about following Jesus and about being God's kingdom people? And I had this sad little picture of myself coming before the Lord for 6 weeks, crying out for his overflowing blessing and empowering witness in our city, and then holding just a tiny thimble's worth of capacity, that God would actually answer that prayer. And so I spent that afternoon preparing, thinking and dreaming about capacity. If God gave us 130 new believers in the next 2 years, how would we disciple them? Where is that capacity? And friends, I believe that that capacity is you. We often talk about making disciples of Jesus in the everyday places of our lives, in our homes. We, you and I, will disciple these new believers in our homes. And so I started thinking about the tools that we need to develop to disciple these new believers. I started to think about the preparations that we need to make and the equipping that we need to do so that you and I are ready to disciple these new believers. This past Thursday evening, our elders met, and we spent some time as a leadership team just reviewing what did the Lord say to us over these past 6 weeks. And we landed on three words that we felt were important for us as a church. And that first word was expectation. That we anticipate the harvest with expectation that God has heard our prayer, and that we live in that expectation. We live with the expectation that God would use us any day this week, any place that we live or learn or work or play, or even as we gather on a Sunday morning to pray for one another. Expectation that the Lord has heard our prayer. The second word was proactive, that we prepare for the coming harvest, that we equip ourselves, and that we create the capacity that we will need to disciple the new believers. So expectation, proactive preparation. And then the third word was staffing. Is this what the Lord had in mind when he led us a number of weeks ago to expand the capacity of this staffing position? Not that we would move away from the priority of youth ministry, young adult ministry, but do we need to expand that into equipping ministry for discipling new believers? And so I want to take some time this morning to pray over these three words: expectation, proactive preparations, and staffing for youth and discipleship. But before we pray, I want to ask you again, what is the Lord saying to you? One of the phrases in the book of Acts is, it seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit when he was leading. Are these words that you would affirm as a church, that the Lord is saying these things to us? I submit these to you on behalf of the elders and the things that I feel convicted of, but I want to submit them to you. Are these words that you want to affirm as a church? Anybody want to respond in any way? Love to just have a sense of what you're feeling from the Lord. Michelle.
I had something on my mind earlier, and I didn't feel like I was supposed to say it. And then all of a sudden, when Norm was speaking, it fell into place. On June 2nd, during a prayer day, I had a very distinct picture of a train track. And that, as train tracks go, they go through different areas. Some are fields, some are mountains, some have to be cut through mountains. And that God was saying to me, you're on the track. You can see the destination. It's me. But you're going through a tunnel, and you don't need to know what's in that tunnel because I've got it. Proactive was a word that came out of preparing, being ready for what would be immediately on the other side of that tunnel, on the way to heaven's gate, so to speak. So I do affirm that word. I can't say other words came to me, but I would affirm that.
We're stretching them. So if you have parents, you may want to go get them, but I don't want to stop this. So if you would receive your children and then come back and join us. Thanks, Nicole.
So a while ago, I hate having my back to people. A while ago, we were doing a sharing day. Can't remember the date. And I had a very clear picture in my head of something that I felt that the Lord was calling me to do. I wasn't sure if I should have shared it then or no. But the Lord was calling me to go and speak to a particular individual in the school that I work with who happens to also be born again and who's struggling a lot in their job right now because it's a very heavy, heavy load. And I felt that there was a call to prayer in my school. And I said to the Lord, well, that is a very, very large thing to do. It kind of puts my job in a interesting place. And I said, so if this is something that you really want me to do, make it clear, set up a time, help it to happen in a natural way. I don't want to be, I'm a problem solver, so sometimes I go and I try and solve the problem by myself. And I didn't want to do this in my own strength. I wanted the Lord to do this. And again, the expectation. I didn't actually have the expectation that he would. I thought, well, you know, I prayed my prayer, and that's me being obedient, right? I set it aside. On Friday, a gentleman came to me, and he says that he was going to a meeting with this particular individual, and he was called two other people, and he said, actually, the word that he used was he needed wisdom, and you are wise, and I want you to come. And I was taken quite aback because I don't don't really think of myself as wise. And I said, okay, well, let's just go and see what's going on. And this person who is again born again as well, asked us to speak into his life in a very personal way. And at that point in time, I didn't feel called in front of the few others that were there to explain to him what I saw at church the other day. But then afterwards, once they left, I did. And I said, you know, I've been praying, and I know that your burden is very heavy. And so I see right now, and I have to agree, that the Lord is moving and calling us to be expectant for the Lord to put us into positions of moving as he guides us in his wisdom towards a place of closeness and intimacy in ability to speak into other people's lives in a way that, as Holy Spirit leads, will guide them into closeness and relationship.
And that takes risk.
When you're supposed to share and you wait and you wait and you wait and no, I won't share. But the word that came to me was wait on the Lord. I am not wired that way. Neither am I wired to be silent before the Lord. So I kind of pushed it aside. I'm not a waiting person. 2 weeks later, I received this electronic version of the MB Herald. Wouldn't you know it? In there, it said the same thing. And it was like the Lord was saying to me, Ralph, in case you didn't hear me the first time, I'm telling you again, wait on the Lord. And I've been doing a lot of thinking too about Mountain Park and what our next steps are. And I was part of that conversation that Norm referred to about staffing, because I felt very confident about that. So I guess what I'm saying in all this is the Lord is about to do something, and we are to wait for him to do that. The temptation for me is to, like was mentioned earlier, is to do it on our own, right? We're problem solvers. We would like to do stuff on our own. But to rely on the Lord to do that and to wait for him to do that is sometimes hard because we're concerned about the future. So wait on the Lord.
Thanks, Ralph. Eddie, I think we'll just not do the closing song. You'll allow me just to close in prayer. Father, you're gracious, you're kind. You give strength through the community of believers together. You give discernment. And so, Father, we thank you first for speaking to us as individuals, then to the leadership teams of our church, to giving us not just a consensus, but more than that, an excitement, an anticipation. And so, Father, we simply submit these three words to you. We live in expectation that you have heard our prayer. We want to be proactive, preparing ourselves for the harvest. And as best as we can determine, God, you have led us to seek staffing to help us in this. And for our youth, for our younger generations, for our young adults. And so we submit these three to you. God, would you now reveal to us the answers to these prayers? We submit this to you in Jesus' name.